On the plane, flying home, I read another John Grisham book. It's been out a year or two. It's called The Whistler. And on the Indian tribe down in Florida somewhere, they were going to, as they always do, put up a big casino to bring money to the reservation and the tribe. But the mafia got involved, and they're working on this together, and there's a corrupt judge who was a lady who was making, I think, end of the book, $38 million out of all the corruption, getting all this money out of it. And a small group of attorneys just begin to poke into it. They know something's wrong, and people die, and there's accidents, and there's craziness. But at the end of the book, all the good people have won and have made millions of dollars in a settlement, and all the bad people have been hauled off to jail and have lost all their money. Isn't that the way it's supposed to be? I hate movies and books when it doesn't come out clear. All the good guys win and all the bad people are out, and that's the way it should be. And I said to God, that's the way it's supposed to be with you too, God. If you do good and you play by the rules, you ought to win. And if you're bad, you don't play by the rules, then you should be out. And we should be the ones with the big houses. We should have the big places because we've been following the rules, God. And we should be in on heaven, and those people should be out. And John Grisham is a Christian. And I wonder if he's thought all this through. And in his book, the good deserve it. They were good. And the leader of the tribe becomes the good guy. And the bad people and that crooked judge are in jail. Why can't it be like that? And we come to the story. We'll start with Hebrews and then come back to the book of Joshua and Judges. The story in Hebrews chapter 11. It was by faith the prostitute Rahab was not destroyed with the people of the city who refused to obey God, for she had given a friendly welcome to the spies. She is a prostitute. How can she be in this list with Abraham and Noah and David and Daniel and all the other giants of faith? And here is a prostitute. How does she get in here? We know the story. She's a prostitute. She lives in Jericho. If you know, it was a little small city. You can walk around it in a day. Everybody knows everybody. Everybody knows who she is and what she does. She has a house on the wall. And at night, people will slip through the shadows and knock on her door, and she lets them in. She's a prostitute. One night, two men knock on the door, and they are not customers or clients. They are Jews sent by Joshua to check out the land. And she saves them. The people hear about it. The king sends a command, send her, give them to us. She hides them under the flax on the roof. And then when they come, she says, yeah, they were here. I don't know who they were, but they're gone now. You better hurry, go get them. And then she goes back up to the roof and she says to these two spies, in Joshua 2, verse 9, they know that the Lord has given this land to you, and everybody is melting in fear because of you. Now then, swear to me by the Lord that you will show kindness to my family because I have shown kindness to you. She wants to switch sides. She wants in. She is the prostitute. She has been as outside can get. But she's heard how God is blessing them, and she longs to be in, to belong to this other group. And she switches sides. I want to be with you. I want to be one of them. The girl came to Peter and said, I know you are one of them. And Peter says, no, I am not one of them. I have nothing to do with them. We have the next picture. Can you switch? There we go. But Rahab wants to be with them. Everybody has a them that they want to belong to, a them. Somewhere there's a them. Kevin Durant watches the Cleveland Cavaliers win and sees them celebrating. And he says, I am tired of losing. I want to be with them. And he switches sides and he joins the best team in the league. And they win. And he wins the championship this year. I want to be with them. You're standing at the Titanic and the boat is going down and people are getting in a lifeboat. And your one idea is, I want to be with them. I want to be in a group that is going to be saved. I don't want to be here. I want to be with them in that boat. Them. I want to be with them. I got on the plane this week, and they make you walk through first class with all the people that are going to lie down and sleep tonight in a bed. And I get to go to the back. And I say, someday I want to be with them. Someday. We're going to go to Hawaii tonight for a few days. And when I go to Hawaii and I see the surfers, I want to be one of them. And when I see certain people on the beach, I want to be one of them. Not like them. Which is what I am. And when I see people with hair, I don't want to be bald. I want to be one of them. Here's the picture. I have a bucket list to go on a cruise to Alaska someday. Someday. I see these pictures. I'll show three or four pictures here. These whales jumping. Somebody's in a little boat seeing these whales go jumping. I said, what do I have to do to be one of them? I want to see that. I've gone many whale watching. I have never seen a whale one time in all the whale watching. Every Pathfinder trip. And you look at these pictures, and I say, what do I have to do to be one of those people in a little boat next to the whales? Well, one of these days, you're going to hear. And you're going to look at those pictures, and you can look at the front of it, and you're going to see me in one of those little boats. And I will be in, and you will be out. All right? I'm going to be one of them. You know, I was in the Philippines. They asked me just 3 weeks ago to go and do a week of prayer at our little college. And I just want to give you another them. Here's Nagaview College. I've spoken for them years ago in the past. I love this place. Many of them are still there when I went there years ago. Here's another them. Nagaview, they sit out there on the steps for Friday night. Just keep moving here a little bit. Here's the mission president and his wife. For 20 years, he has been the minister of the youth and the secretary. Now he's the president. I have done 100 things with these people. We have done crusades. When they have crusades, they come and live with me in the hotel for 2 weeks. I love these people. They are them. The moment I walked in the door of my little guest room, here they were. They drove hours to be with me. Came up again Wednesday night. Came up again on Sabbath. Drove 9 hours to speak. Came back to be with me. These are them. This family, go back one. I did the sixth grade graduation for that family years ago. Little girl was a valedictorian. One of my members of last year, I persuaded to begin to pay for her to go to school. She's now growing up. Here is the mother. It's her daughter, granddaughter. These people have been precious people in my life for a long time. And when I spoke, they came. Next one. It was hot. I love mango ice cream. I said, how much to feed mango ice cream to everybody? For $80, I made 500 people really happy. And I took pictures. Here they stood in line, and everybody loved me. Thank you, Pastor Dan. Thank you, Pastor Dan. You're the best, Pastor Dan. Incredible young people in the chapel where I was. Keep going. Every morning, I was in a little guest room in the clinic, maybe a couple hundred yards away from the campus. Every morning, 5:30 in the morning, I would begin to hear music. And I thought, what are they doing on campus? This is a sound system? What? Finally would wake up and realize they're outside my door and they're singing to me. Here's a choir singing for me for 20 minutes. Pastor Dan, can you have worship? Here's another choir. The last morning, 6:30 in the morning, I got to bed at 2. Now 6:30, here are their theology majors. And someone stopped them or they would have been out there at 5:30. I love these people. I want to be with them. Friday morning, they have to add these four classrooms. I got to get up at 6 o'clock to help dedicate those classrooms. We're just sending money just today to help with one restroom. This man has never napped, but we have done a lot together. He's in Orange County. He lives down here in Oceanside. Those buildings he did, he lives, eats, and breathes to help support that school. All his family members were there. Big, huge family here in America from the Philippines. I am with them. Saturday night, I stood up to help them raise money for that place. And we do this together. Friday night, they come together and all the students sit on the front steps and they sing and they have worship as the sun goes down over the town. Fantastic group of people. Just go on. Choirs Friday night. Unbelievable program on Friday night. Keep going. Let me tell you about this. 11 years ago, we baptized 350 people in that town, bigger capital city, just hold it right there. And I baptized those people. I went to change my clothes. I'm back on the street. We're having another baptism. This guy is the cashier. Now he's the treasurer of the mission. He's driving down the road. He stops in front of me. I lean into the car. I say, "Where are you going?" "I'm going to the hospital. We're having a baby." I don't know what else to do. Okay, so I prayed for him. His wife's already there. He's on his way. I prayed for them and that baby, and as I'm leaving out of the car, I just made a joke, and I said, "Name the baby for me." Just a joke. A year later, I was there for something else, and they came up to me with a little girl in her arms and said, "Meet Danielle." And they brought her to me on Friday night, and there she is, and they met, have another picture, there's me and her, and they call her Dan Dan. And I got to tell her the story in person. I love these people. I am with them. Go on. This was the translator at our crusade, Sarah. I met him last Sunday afternoon. This is his family. Next picture. He's a pastor in that mission. This is the number one layman in that area. They wanted me to help them with a motorcycle. I had half the money. I gave them half the money. This week, Quiet Hour voted the other half, and we will send that over this week. Works all day, every day, he and his wife, just to win souls, living on $50, $100 a month, whatever they can do. That's my them. Sunday afternoon in Manila, I had 2 hours. They took me out to eat Halo Halo. As the youth director, the women's ministry director, ministerial director of the union, we have done 20 years of stuff all over Philippines together. They are precious people in my life, and we scheduled 3 more crusades over the next 2-3 years. Wonderful, godly people. And whenever you think you'd like to be nice to have the good life and to live in first class and to go on cruises and to be able to go around the world and to party and to be able to have money and have houses and be one of them, if I had to choose between those thems and this them, I choose this them. And I choose mission trip people, and I choose you, and I choose VBS people, and I choose the church. And someday there's going to be a choice on the resurrection morning, and a cloud is going to come. And you have to choose which them you want to be with. And Rahab chose, "I don't want to be with these people anymore. I want to be with them." And she switches sides. She lets them down with a rope. Lets that down over the wall. And she makes a deal with them. She says, "Save my family." And they said, "If your red rope is out the window, we will save." And her whole family comes to the house. And they watch as their people march around the walls. And the next day, and the next day, and the seventh day. And they march, and they shout, and they play their trumpets. And all the walls come tumbling down, except her particular wall. How do you trust when you watch the walls everywhere falling down, these Middle Eastern bricks made out of clay and dirt, and your wall stays up because you hung a red cord, and you're a prostitute, and all her family is safe because they trusted in that red cord, just like the Israelites trusted in the blood over the door 40 years before. And the text says, and she lives with us to this day. She switches sides. And we get this message. God forgives prostitutes. And God always does this in the Bible. And he says, if I can forgive prostitutes, then I can forgive you and I can forgive everybody. Someone gave me the movie many years ago, Pretty Woman. It's not a good movie. I'm not trying to promote it. I used to show a little clip. I quit doing that. People got mad. But I did want to see. They got the story from the Bible. It is all the way through the Bible, one prostitute after another, where there's Rahab, and there's Tamar, and there's Hosea's wife, and there's Mary. It's in the Bible that God takes people who are outside, and he forgives them and brings them to the inside. That's what he does. And that's what's in the movie, whether you like it or not. I won't show it ever again. And not only is Rahab saved, she is in the Hall of Fame. She's up there with Abraham and all these other people in our Hall of Fame. They won't let Pete Rose or Mark McGuire or Barry Bond get into our Hall of Fame. But Jesus puts Rahab and prostitutes in his Hall of Fame. Amen? Because they had faith and they trusted that cord, that red cord. And Jesus wants to make this powerful point. You will not get in by keeping all the rules. You don't get in by being the best. You get in by faith, by hanging a red cord out the window and by believing in two sticks hanging on a hill. That's how it works. And if I can just bear with me for a minute here, I may have to read some of this. You may think this story has nothing to do with you and me. This is about prostitutes. But listen to this. There is some of Rahab in all of us. Number one, she found pleasure in the wrong places. I've done that. She took something that was supposed to be holy, and she let it become cheap. Have we done that? Something was supposed to be holy, and we let it become ordinary. The Sabbath, marriage, whatever it is, supposed to be holy, we let it become cheap. We've all done that. Number three, she didn't trust God to give her pleasure. She went to go away from God. Have we done that? God is not enough. I got to go get pleasure some other places. We've all done that. Number four, she lost her boundaries. She didn't say no when she should have. We've all done that. And number five, all through the Bible, God uses adultery as a symbol of whenever we leave God and our one-on-one relationship with God and we're unfaithful to God in any way, we're also committing adultery against God, and we are Rahab. So if you're tempted to think that this is a story about Rahab and not about you and me, this is about all of us. And God forgives prostitutes as long as you hold on to the red cord. Now, number three. Are you ready? There's one more story right down the page from the story of Rahab. They marched through the walls of Jericho. And Joshua told them, don't you take anything. You leave everything there. We're going to kill them all. Don't you take anything. You leave it. One person sees a few things. He's not sure he can trust God to take care of his life adequately enough. He sees a few things. He takes them, buries them in his tent. They go to Ai. They have a terrible battle. They get destroyed. They know somebody has sinned here in the camp. And they draw lots and come down to his tribe, to his family, to him. And they come to his tent and they say, it's you. What have you done? And he admits it. They go dig it up. And they stone him to death. And he ends up, ever he marched around Jericho. He watched the walls come tumbling down. All those people are now buried under the walls. And now he is buried under a pile of stones just like them. And just bear with me here as we think about the shaking time at the end of the world. This is like the shaking time. People on the inside end up outside, and people on the outside end up on the inside. That's what the shaking time is going to be. Achan is part of the family of God. He has marched across the desert. He has followed the rules. He has marched around the wall seven times and shouted and played the trumpet. But he's not happy with what God has given him. He's got to go get some more. And at the end of his life, it doesn't matter even if he did 98% of his life was good and law-keeping and abiding. At the end, he loses his faith and it's over. And he's out. God doesn't take his life and average it all out and say, okay, you did good most of the time. Here's a little bad here at the end, and I'm going to average it out and give you a C+ and let you pass. If you end up without faith, you're out. And we have this message that the shaking time at the end of the world is going to be based on faith. It's based on you and the red cord. The man who has been good all his life is now out, and the lady who has been bad all of her life is now in, all because of faith. Rahab is a prostitute. She is a pagan. But at the last minute, she has faith. She switches sides. She holds on to the red cord, and she makes it. Achan has been a saint. He has done everything right for 40 years. But at the end, he doesn't have faith, and he's out. It's all by faith. Her faith at the end wipes out all her history of bad. His no faith at the end wipes out all his life of good. It all depends, do you have faith at the end? Achan is born in the tribe of Judah, but now he's out. Rahab is born outside, marries a man from Judah, and she is in and becomes part of the family of God, even though she's a prostitute. Rahab's house is here on the wall, and everything else around her is a pile of stones. Achan is part of the family of God, and he loses his house and ends up under a pile of stones, and everything is switched. Can you hear how this will be at the end of the world? There will be people who will be outside and partying and crazy right until the end, and then all of a sudden they get it, and it clicks in, and they realize who God is, and they decide to trust in the red cord, and they come in, and they are saved. And other people who have been keeping the right day and are part of the church and been going on mission trips and have been keeping the rules and doing the right things, at some point will decide that they're tired of suffering. They don't want to wait for heaven to give them good. And they begin to take from the world what they're not supposed to take. And they lose their faith. And they're out. And there's a shaking time here at the end. Can we just carefully say the only hope is on the red cord? Amen? It will not be based on the Sabbath or on your goodness or the remnant church or vegetarianism or anything else. It'll be based on the red cord and faith. There will be people who were good who will be left behind, and people who were very bad who will get to go. And be careful with this. People think that you start with grace, but you eventually have to finish with works. But if you follow this story, they started 40 years ago with blood over the door, and they got out, they passed over, because that angel passed over, because you had the blood. And now here, 40 years later, you are now safe. As long as you have the red cord, and you are safe. It is the blood, it is Jesus, once and for all, forever. It is always by faith. Is it still good to be good? Yes, it is good to be good. As long as you are good but still trusting in the red cord, you can never transfer your faith from the red cord to the being good. But it's still good to be good. Absolutely. And so if you have been bad, hear the gospel today. There is hope for you as long as you hold on to the red cord. And you can become one of them with a red cord. If you've been good, keep being good. It's good to be good. But never trust your goodness. Trust the red cord. And having worked on all that this week, I was reading again on the plane a book by Rob Bell. And all of a sudden, here was a chapter about the Sidonians. I've never heard all this. I'm just going to take 10 pages and boil it to one paragraph. Noah had the flood. He comes out of the flood, he grows a vineyard, he gets drunk, son Ham walks in, sees him naked, goes and tells the other sons, they walk in backwards and cover him up, but Noah hears about it, he's mad at Ham, curses Ham, and curses his son and the family down all the generations, and he curses his son Canaan. Canaan has a son named Sidon. Sidon has a huge family, and they become enemies of God's people. When the Israelites are traveling, they have to fight the Sidonians. Sidonians stand for all the evil people who are fighting against God. Solomon marries a whole group of Sidonians who bring him the god of Ashtoreth. Ahab marries Jezebel, who was a Sidonian. There should be pictures of this. Should be a picture of Jezebel there. Here we go. Isaiah speaks against them. Jeremiah speaks against them. Ezekiel speaks against them. Sidonian stands for all the people who are bad, the worst people in the Bible, and fighting against God and his people. Until Jesus comes. And Jesus comes down, and he goes to Sidon. No one else would ever go. You didn't talk to a Sidonian. You didn't go to their place. You didn't go there. Jesus goes to Sidon. And a lady comes, and she wants to be healed. And he says, I can't. The gospel goes to the lost tribe of Israel. No, she says. Even the dogs can get the scraps from the master's table. And he heals her, and he says, I've never seen such amazing faith. Sidonian, that had been cursed by Noah thousands of years before. And Jesus comes in, and he heals her, and he heals these people. And then he says in Matthew 11, it'll be better in the day of judgment for the Sidonians than for you. And there is this big switch. The prostitute who was out comes in. The Sidonians who were out come in. And the people who are keeping the rules and keeping the law and playing the game and doing it right, if you don't have faith, we'll be out. And Jesus says, it's all by faith. Amen? Yeah. Little story that I use all the time. Some of you, I'm sure, have heard it. Just to put it here. I was dating Hilda. We would drive up to the California coast every couple months. And they would have dinner, and everybody had their little silver napkin ring with their name engraved, except me. And it was very clear to me every time we ate and every time I went up there, I was this Adventist pastor, not married, out. And they were in. And then we got engaged. It looked like I was going to get in. 3 weeks before the wedding, her father got a little spooked and called us up. And Sabbath afternoon after preaching, I had to drive down to her apartment and deal with a couple things. And it looked like I was going to stay out. Finally decided that I could marry his daughter, and we got married. In November and in December, we went up there for Christmas. And they all got their gifts, and I got a little gift, and I opened it up. And there was my silver napkin ring with my name engraved. And I went from outside to in. Amen? And I just invite you to nail it down today. Choose which them you want to be in with. If we can have our praise team come up and sing. This has just got to be part of this message. When the saints go marching in, what? I want to be in that number. When the saints go marching in, would you stand and sing with our praise team? This train is bound for glory, this train, when the saints go marching in.
We're going to start with, I'm going to sing, sing, sing. I'm going to shout, shout, shout.
Sing, sing, sing. I'm gonna shout, shout, shout. I'm gonna sing, I'm gonna shout. Praise the Lord. When those gates open wide, I'm gonna sit by Jesus' side. I'm gonna sing, I'm gonna shout. Praise the Lord.
Oh, when the saints,
oh, when the saints
go marching in. Oh, when the saints go marching in. This train is bound for glory, this train. glory this train. I'm gonna sing, sing, sing. I'm gonna shout, shout, shout. I'm gonna sing, I'm gonna shout. Praise the Lord. When those gates are open wide, I'm gonna sit by Jesus' side. I'm gonna sing, I'm gonna shout. Praise the Lord. I'm gonna sing, I'm gonna shout.
Let us pray. Our dear Father in heaven, may we all be one of them. As Rahab said, I can see that God is blessing them. I want to be part of them. I will identify with them. I will live with them. And I will trust in this red cord. And Father, today, may we trust in the red cord of Jesus Christ and his blood. We would love to be good, Father. We want to be good. We want to be righteous and follow you in every way. But as we are doing good, may we just trust in this one thing. We have faith in the red blood of Jesus Christ. Someday when the shaking time comes, may we be shaken in and not out. And be one of them when the clouds come and Jesus comes. Maybe be one of them who goes on a cloud to spend eternity with you, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.